about the blessings to the children, what Jesus told us about good tree will produce good fruit, whereas bad tree produces bad fruit. I bet the Lord's message is not just for the children, but for every one of us adults as well, because I'm going to talk about harvest later on. So greetings from folks from the Toronto Christian Community Church. I thank Reverend Ming Wong because I've known him many years, and I certainly appreciate him as well as one of your former staff, now a missionary, Reverend Conrad Kwok. Both of them have served together as co-workers in the TCMF, the Toronto Chinese Evangelical Ministerial Fellowship. So God has given your pastor a broad horizon, kingdom mindset to serve not just this church, but interdenominationally and with interchurch events. And as I was browsing your bulletin, I happened to know quite a few of the names of the missionaries that you support too. Reverend Johnny Lowe to Mexico, right? And Kenny and Sarah Yu to Colombia. Recently, this Joseph Wong to Russia, I believe, and Ukraine or some Eastern European countries. So or Grace and Joy Wang too, right? Children ministry in China. So there's a lot of overlapping there, and we praise God for this Mission Month. In fact, in our own church, this is also Mission Month. So next 2 weeks, I'll be also very busy with many missionaries and outside speakers. But it's good to, at least once a year, not only to be refreshed, but to renew our own commitment to world evangelization. And this is a familiar passage that many of us have heard before. But under the banner of pray continually, which is your theme of the year, today I want to ponder about that, and let us continue on this focus of prayer. Now, how do we pray continually? Because in this passage, the Lord does bring up the subject of prayer, but not other ordinary prayers, but prayer for world evangelization, prayer for a harvest field. I still remember vividly my first attempt to go on a short-term mission almost 30 years ago. And it was a medical mission because at that time I was practicing still as a medical doctor. So it was a fairly large group. We traveled almost with a group of 40 people, mostly physicians and their spouses and other health professionals like physiotherapists or lab technicians, pharmacists. And we all went to China, to some of the eastern coastal cities of China, like Shanghai, Nanjing, Wuxi, Ningbo. And it was more like a cultural exchange. We would be teaching, lecturing, or even performing certain surgeries in some of the hospitals and medical colleges. And we had the chance to visit Wenzhou. Have you heard of Wenzhou? Wenzhou, huh? One of the southern Zhejiang province cities. There, at that time, it was called the Jerusalem of China because it's one of the cities where the Chinese church was most flourishing. But it was a boat ride, you know, 1990. That was exactly the year after the so-called June 4th massacre and student pro-democracy movement. You might have heard of that. And that was the time we sort of overseas Chinese suddenly awakened to know that I'm Chinese. Other than that, before we were all born in Hong Kong, raised in the Western culture, never thought of yourself as. But because of those tanks rolling into Tiananmen Square and when the innocent students were being crushed and slaughtered, suddenly your blood started boiling, right? You discover that you're a Chinese. Okay, that was my first time to go back to China. And air travel was not that convenient. So we had to take a boat ride. That boat ride is 22 hours from Shanghai to Wenzhou. And we deliberately took a third class, thinking that we want to identify with the customs, the life, the culture of the Chinese people. Of course, we were able to afford first class, but we wanted to take the third class. So as we got on the boat, there's so much chaos and confusion. Everybody was jostling for a position, right? There's no order at all. And then you saw some senior folks, some old ladies, Fan Hong Ha, you know, going back to their home village. They were carrying two baskets of ducklings and chickens and with the pole and come under the boat. And then we went to the third class deck. Wow, it was so crowded. Each room is 12 people, bunk beds, you know, upper and lower deck, six on each side and this and so. But then even the cabin was already half filled with water, you know. It's ankle deep with water. Your socks are all wet. And it was hot and humid. And then you saw some people gambling, right, between the levels with poker, right? And then suddenly when someone lost their money, they started fighting, swearing right in front of you. Scary. And then so many people, they were just, you know, crouching there. And then when they feel they need to cough, then poo! Just spit the phlegm right in front of her face. It was so hot, everybody was eating watermelon, right? But it's not just one slice or two slices, but it's a big chunk of watermelon. And as they finished eating, it was 34, 35 degrees centigrade, right? And then everybody just finished, woo! And they just throw into the big ocean. There's completely no consciousness of environmental protection at all. That's the kind of China of my first visit. I felt very disappointed, very disillusioned. In the middle of the night, I couldn't sleep. It was so dark and so hot. So I got off and was walking, pacing back and forth in the upper deck. My mind was thinking about, what on earth are we doing? We told ourselves we're coming to do short-term mission. But look at the situation in China. It's so backward. It's so third world country. The time we're going to spend here, just 2 weeks, 3 weeks, can we change anything? Can we make even a dent in the medical system of what China is all about? So as I was kind of talking to myself like a soliloquy, right? And it was pitch dark. You could not see, you could not tell sea from sky. Then suddenly, I heard as if the Lord was saying to me, it almost sounds like Mandarin, you know. I didn't know a word of Mandarin then. Harding, why are you complaining? Why are you seeing all sorts of things and not happy about it? If China is really your mother, why do you complain about her? Saying that it's dirty and the hygiene is bad and the people are not polite. If China is your mother, why don't you become more sympathetic towards her? Why don't you come back more often to visit her? So, okay, the Lord was talking to me, right? And then suddenly, it was about 5 a.m., right? So it was the sunrise. I saw the first gleam of golden sparkling. The first gleam of sunlight shining through the darkness. And then I saw the sunrise. In Chinese, we call it Han Dan Wang, you know, the salted egg yolk, you know, starting to rise from the horizon. And the sky started to turn bright. It was as if the Lord was telling me or was giving me a vision in Christ. There's always hope. Amen? That was an eye-opening vision for me. From then on, I keep going back to China year after year. In fact, this year I've gone 2 times already, and next month in November I'm going to Wuhan to teach in a seminary one more time. That will be my 3rd visit to China this year. Brothers and sisters, as we pray for world missions, as we pray continually, and from this short passage that the Lord is going to enlighten us, let me suggest to you that it involves a vision. Praying continually for world evangelization starts with a vision. It involves having a renewed vision. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when he saw, when our Lord Jesus saw something, it means something to us as well. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. What does the book of Proverbs tell us? In Proverbs 29:18, let us read together. It should be up there. Can you keep going with me for the, yeah. Let us read it. 1, 2, 3. When there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. When there is no revelation from the Lord, meaning a vision, people will just do their own thing. But blessed is the one who heeds God's wisdom, who understands God's law in the Bible and requirement and become obedient to it. What is vision? Next slide. Okay. I thought I have another slide in it. But vision, somebody said, you cannot count, or rather, sorry, you can count how many seeds in an apple. It's in there. You can count how many seeds in an apple, but you cannot count how many apples that can be produced from one seed. Agree? That's called vision. That means you can see with the eyes of God the unlimited possibilities. So let me suggest that even before we see the masses of souls that needs to be saved or rescued, we need to even have a grander vision of God first. Malachi verse chapter 1, verse 11. Please keep going. Okay. My name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. I've been to the ICIE, International Conference of Itinerant Evangelists. That was operated by Billy Graham before, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, several times. One time it was 1986 that I went, and then second time in 2000. It was held in Amsterdam, Holland, when over 10,000 evangelists or servants of God congregated together to rededicate their lives for preaching the gospel worldwide. But there were almost close to 200 nations being represented. In the opening ceremony, you have all those flags, just like Olympic ceremony. And when you were in one of those situations, you felt the glory of God. One day, according to the book of Revelations, from every tongue, every tribe, every corner, every nation, every people, people will come and praise our Lord. Hallelujah. When you have that kind of vision, you have the perseverance to keep going. But what did Jesus see? Jesus saw with compassion. Praying continually for world evangelization starts with a vision. But secondly, you will need and be involved with compassion, involving a compassion. Can you, the PowerPoint person, please keep going with me, please? Yeah. And in verse 39, just 36, just now, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. What does the masses, what does the multitudes, the crowds, when you see them, what imagery does it invoke in you? For some, for the merchants, for people who saw the 1.4 billion souls in China, it's all purely profit. It's a big market for them. For politicians, it's just votes to get. For people who are the upper class, the lower class is always just for exploitation, but we like to call them the underdog, isn't it? Or for the people who like statistics, it's just something to analyze. But for Jesus, each person is a name with a face and a soul for redemption. We need to see people from the eyes of God with compassion, the compassion of Jesus. You see, the word compassion is calm. You have .com, all those internet words, right? And passion, the passion of Christ, meaning the suffering of Christ. The last week of Jesus on earth is called Passion Week. Compassion means entering into the suffering of those people that you saw. The word in original in Greek is called splanchnic. S-P-L-A-N-C-H-N-I-C. It's a medical word. It means the bowels. Splanchnic nerve means the nerve, the nervous system that causes your bowels to start moving after you have eaten, then the digestive system needs to move. No wonder, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, the same word come upon. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, but has no compassion on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us love with words or speech. Let us not just love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. You see, the Chinese Bible has this translation even better. 你若看见弟兄有穷乏，却塞住自己的心， cause your bowels to be blocked and it's not moving. Splanchnic. Compassion means your bowels start to move when you see people suffering. No wonder a Bible expositor called Reverend Warren Wiersbe aptly said it, put it this way. He said, today, unfortunately, we have too many constipated Christians. You get it? Today we have too many constipated Christians. Christians who see the needs in the world, to see poor people, who see suffering, and their bowels do not move. Suck jaw. You don't go to the toilet. Get it? We need compassion. Therefore, thirdly, praying continually for world evangelization starts with a vision and then coupled with the compassion of Christ, but now it needs to be involved in mission. And that's exactly your focus this month. What kind of mission? Look at verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages. Three things: teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every diseases and sicknesses. That's the threefold ministry of Jesus, our Lord Jesus, hitting the body, the soul, and the spirit, the holistic gospel that encompasses all human needs, impacting all spheres of life. For the individual person, it means his body, soul, and spirit that you need to help fulfill. But on the wider scale of the community and the society that we live in, then our gospel, if it is truly holistic, should impact on healthcare, on school and education, on government and politics, on business and career choices, and the marketplace, theology, and even entertainment, the Hollywood. Look at what happened in the Hollywood, the news you just get in the last couple of days, right? It needs to be reformed tremendously. And art and music and transportation, infrastructure, immigration, and interracial relationships as well. That's holistic. If you look at the chart up there, there are three spheres. That's a simplistic way of seeing it. Some people are specialized in proclamation, like Billy Graham, when he held big stadium crusades and proclaimed from the Bible the salvation word of God, people will respond. That's one way only. Then there is the presence. You don't even say a word. You just accompany people when they are sick, when they are dying. The classic example would be Mother Teresa, right? Full of love and care. That's presence. And the third one is power. There are certain strongholds of Satan and the forces of darkness that you cannot break through unless you fast and pray, like ministry to the prostitutes, to the gangs members, to drug addicts, and that sort of thing. We certainly need to learn from the charismatics. Now, we evangelicals are fearful of charismatics, but that's our mistake. The word charismatic doesn't mean anything wrong. The word is in the Bible. Charisma simply means full of grace. Each one of us has been given the gift from the Holy Spirit, also full of grace. Everyone, therefore, should be a Christian, should be called charismatic too. It's only the extreme forms of charismatics that when they insist and impose that everyone has to speak in tongues, or you would fall on the floor and then start rolling, then of course those are also not taught in the Bible. But otherwise, we evangelicals need to learn quite a bit from the exuberance of the worship of the charismatic churches, as well as the boldness of how they reach out to sick people, poor people, and people under bondage of sin. So may we have this kind of understanding of Jesus' ministry, of his mission, and as such, I'm going to share a little bit about our church feeble attempt to do social concern ministry, to be a little bit more active in caring for the community. We bought a building next to the church building. It's an old warehouse. The address is 105 Gibson Drive. That's why we simply call it Gibson Center. And if you read our mission statement, it is to serve the locals and those in need, and to share with them the compassion and the hope in Jesus. Next one. So that's our logo. Do you see the cross in there? Do you identify it? If not, next one. Do you see it better? Between the alphabet I and B, do you notice a hidden cross there? So even though it's not a church building, even though it's a Christian community center, but we still manifest and preach the cross, although more subtly, in a different way, right? Okay, next one. So we have food bank, next one. Food collection periodically throughout the year. In fact, we're going to have a permanent fixture there. Next one. And we do out of the cold 5 years now, which is in the winter months when Canadian weather is so cold, there are a lot of homeless people. Although some of them are not from our neighborhood, we partner with an organization called Mosaic Interfaith. So each day of the week, for example, one night it will be a Catholic church, another night it will be a Jewish synagogue, another night it will be even a mosque, a Muslim mosque. But then they found us as an evangelical church to open every Sunday night during the summer months for 10 weeks. So we welcome these homeless people. Next one. So they will sleep on the mats on the floor. Next one. And then these are the clothings that our brothers and sisters donated. Although they are used, but we don't take too old, right? It has to be either brand new or at least 80%, 90% new. Okay, useful stuff. Next one. And they'll pick their whatever they need. Next one. We don't show their face out of respect. Next one. And then some volunteers will help cooking the meal for dinner. On the average, there'll be 60, 70, 80 people who come for the meal. Some still have homes to go back, so only about half, 30 or so, 30 or 35, will stay overnight and sleep over. Next one. So this is in the kitchen. They start with their face, with a prayer, with a smile, and then next one. And they'll get ready the food. Next one. And some will act as servers, especially the young people, and we'll engage in conversation with them. Next one. When it's a Super Bowl, we'll set up a big screen for them to watch next one. I also volunteer to do breakfast. You have to come back at 5 a.m., right? Next one, coax them. This is Pastor Larry. Next one. So we get breakfast ready, and then there will be a packed lunch next one. Bacon, next. And after that, when they leave at 7 a.m. or 8 a.m., they'll carry a sandwich that is also prepared by the blind people, Christian blind people. Next one. So we collaborate. Next one. So this is called VIP, meaning visually impaired people ministry. Although they are blind, they are just as very important people. They have another acronym, JBVC, meaning Joy Beyond Vision Community. That guy is called Reverend Danny Leung. He himself is the pastor, but he's also a blind person. So we, in Gibson Center, there's a corner we call Cultural Cafe, next one. And they operate Gongsik Lai Cha, you know, Hong Kong milk tea and desserts to serve people who can chit-chat there, like a cafe, but also we have other kinds of programs that go along with it, like mini concerts, next one, and people can eat lunch there as well. Next. This summer, they traveled to Hong Kong to join in a international competition. Reverend Danny won the first prize, right? The champion for North America region, meaning United States and Canada, and they went to Hong Kong to join in the international competition where other contestants are from Beijing, from Shenzhen, from Shanghai, etc. He didn't get to be the champion this time, but it's number 5, still very prominent, because when the MC introduced the other people, they kept saying, this is Shanghai Sifu, whatever Sifu, but then when they came to this, Danny, they said, this is Moxi. This is a pastor, a reverend, you know. So every people clap, you know. How come a pastor, a Christian, even though blind, can still serve the needy and the poor? Next one. So this is helping the Syrian refugee family. I noticed that your church is also doing the same. Very good. And our food bank certainly helped many of these families. This is a Muslim family of 4. The lady recently gave birth to another one, and although they were from Muslim background, but because of our befriending them, slowly they are now coming to Bible study. Although we could not speak Arabic, but we partner with the neighborhood church. There is a couple of Egyptian Coptic churches, and they can speak Arabic well, and they help us to reach out to them with Bible study, with the Alpha program, the video, but it's the Arabic version. Next one. These are all Syrian families. That's my wife talking to him. Next one. And in Christmas time, we hold a celebration to let them both the... You see, people from Syria, the refugees, some are Christians too. They are Armenian Christians, all right? Some are Muslims background, Arabic speaking. But back home, they don't mingle because of different religions. Now they are all Canadians, and in a safe environment, they can make friends. They can speak the same language. Just now what you saw was the thrift store, because the different items, especially the clothing that brothers and sisters donated, on one hand, it's good to be educational about helping the environment, right? Recycling, and not to throw away things that are still usable, but at the same time, we sell it cheap to whoever, the new immigrants, whatever. $2, you get a good pair of pants. $5, you got a good pair of shoes. And that's one way of helping the community as well. Next one. These are youth program, a meal together for after school. Next one. They come for tutoring, they come for dinner. Next one. And these kids, many of them from China, but some from other, we have Latinos from South America, we have people from Middle East, and they can all mingle well here in Gibson. Next one. This is called Empower, although not a Christian organization, it's an NGO, But they rented our place and they provide IT training, computer training for young people from age 18 to 25 to 30. Many of them are university graduates who still couldn't find job. Back to the last one too. Back, please. Yes, and what do? They come for 3 months of training and 85% of them found jobs in IBM, in BMO, in some corporations. So they are very happy. And they feel very at home here because they can buy a cup of milk tea, turn on their laptop, there's free Wi-Fi, and they make friends here. So the challenge to us for our English congregation now is, how do you reach out to them? With blacks, with whites, with Muslims, with East Indians, with all kinds of multicultural environment. Isn't it our task to do cross-cultural ministry too? In missions, we send people all overseas to Timbuktu. But what about when God has brought all these ethnicity in our backyard? Do we not do anything about it? So this is our challenge. Next one. So these are the seniors program, especially in the summer, but we're going to make it after our phase two renovation, we're going to have a permanent program. That is like adults, seniors, daycare, so that they don't go to the gambling houses. They don't go to Casinorama or so they'll come here, there will be friendship, there will be laughter, there will be Tai Chi, but most of all, there will be gospel for them to listen to. Next one. And this is a new kitchen. We partner with Meals in Need. This is a very moving story. Two good Christians, one a Christian lawyer, one is a Christian medical doctor, but specializing in geriatrics. Last year, as soon as they heard that the federal government had passed the laws for euthanasia, then they said, uh-oh, many seniors in the community are going to die soon, because if they can't even get the meals for their regular necessity. So they started this kitchen where our church will train and provide volunteers to partner with them so that these food packages, it doesn't cost much, maybe $6, $7, good food and a soup and a dessert as well. And the wrapping will have a saying, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Something like that, right? So we want to penetrate and reach out to the lonely, isolated seniors in the community. This is called VIGAR, Vertical Indoor Gardening and Agriculture. There's three layers. The top is mimicking a wetland. The second layer is to grow some vegetables, simple, easy to grow vegetables like lettuce, that kind of thing. And the bottom layer is a fish tank. And we are going to raise tilapia. That size, all right? So people who are involved in this, when there's produce, you can either take home to eat yourself, but better still, you can donate to the food bank. So in the future, the food bank doesn't just collect canned dry food, but there will be even fresh food for the needy families. Next one. So the point being intergenerational learning, because in this society, in this age, the age gap and difference is bigger and bigger. The seniors are being neglected and not respected. The young ones growing up in Canada need to learn how to show filial piety. We are hoping that with this, the yeye mama, they don't know enough about wanbo, right? About environmental protection or whatever, or recycling. Then the grandchildren can share with grandma about all these. It can be an intergenerational learning together to fulfill God's commission. So this is a picture of how they mingle well in the summer camp. Next one. This is the Operation Dawn for drug addicts. Next one. You'll see your pastor here. Who is that? Pastor Conrad Kwok in there with Pastor Simon Lau, Lau Man Wong Moksi. All right. So they have a compound up in Aurora where the drug addicts will spend 18 months to kick the habit. But our church will nurture these young ones to what baptism and then even find meaningful part-time job for them. Next one. And many of them these young people, they are also multicultural now. Some are from Taiwan background, some are from Malaysia, some are Canadian-born CBC. So I joke with them that you can form two basketball teams there, right, with 10 people. Next one. And in fact, three of them had dedicated their lives to study in Tyndale. And one had already graduated that our 105 Gibson Center employed as a youth coordinator. Next one. This one is called Rahab Ministry. Rahab, as soon as you hear this term, what does that mean? Who is Rahab in the Bible? Prostitute. Prostitute. So, how do we reach out to them? Not easy. But these two ladies have the heart. One is Joanna, one is Fiona from our church, and they work to reach out to these prostitutes. You don't just tell them to quit that sex trade. You also need to help them learn English, find a job, learn a skill, you know, in order to be holistic. But we partner with them. Next one. So the whole point here is involving a mission means we have to broaden our mindset. We may not be able to do all so many, but at least the way we look at mission has to be more holistic. And then, therefore, let's move into the fourth one, that it should involve intercession, because ultimately Jesus asked us to pray. Verse 37. Let's read together. Verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Our Reverend Metz talked about the different kinds of fruits. In Canada, every summer, there is different season for different fruit. In June, you may have the cherry picking, and then the peaches. And by October now, you have the apple harvest, isn't it? But each fruit is only for one season. If you ignore it, if you neglect it, if you wait too long, postpone for 2 weeks, what happened? What happened, Reverend Matt, to these fruits? They'll rot. We better get into the work before they rot, isn't it? The harvest is plentiful. If you follow Reverend Ming Wong to his mission trip, he'll come back and tell you it's plentiful everywhere in the world, waiting for us to go and tell people that Jesus loves you. Or else, the Lord will hold us accountable. In missions conference like this, we know, yeah, we'll pray, but then we pray for the next guy, right? We pray for the one next to the next to us. But Jesus is asking, we pray for more workers. How about you pray for yourself? Just like Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah said, "Lord, here I am. Send me. Send me." The last point I'm quickly going to conclude is therefore it involves action. Action. Jesus said, we need to go and do all the things that he had taught us, to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I'm sure Reverend Ming will tell you. Next year, this time of the year, September 28th and 29th, 2 days, Friday and Saturday, there will be an IDMC. What does it stand for? Intentional Disciple Making Conference. Reverend Edmund Chan from Singapore will come, and we aim at having 1,000 people, primarily church leaders, not just pastors, but also deacons and your ex-com that you're going to elect, right? All these cell group leaders, fellowship counselors should come, but you need to pay some sacrifice because Friday you need to take a day off. But it's a 2 days conference that the TCMF, Toronto Chinese Evangelical Ministerial Fellowship, the whole Alliance Change of Churches, the ASM churches, the community churches, and then even the seminary, CCST, the Chinese seminary under Tyndale umbrella, are all going to join forces. We are going to focus and emphasize discipleship and mentoring as a means toward world evangelization. I hope many of you will pay attention, and Reverend Ming will remind you to register for it. But as we close, we see that how Jesus sent the disciples two by two. Luke 10, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him, form teams, travel in groups, and you raise more prayer warriors. I'm going to stop here because of time. But the last verse that Jesus gave us in the Acts of the Apostle, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So it's both local Jerusalem toward global. Our community center is an effort to become local. Global and local to link up together. So you need to wait and pray for the power from above, the Holy Spirit, but don't wait for too long. Don't wait for too long. It's action time. Therefore, go. Pray and go. Jesus' way is learning by doing. You will learn and grow so much in your mission trips, especially if you have the chance to travel with your pastor. When I go on a mission trip, I always bring a team together, 6, 8 together, and we play, we eat, we have fun, we argue, we serve together, but that's discipleship. That's Jesus' way. May we all become obedient to his great commission. Even though we listen to that at least once a year, but we cannot procrastinate year after year. It's time for action. To pray continually with a vision, with compassion, with mission, a holistic mission, body, soul, and spirit, with intercession. But finally, we got to act. Let us pray. Father, we the human words stop here. But the word, the softly spoken whispering of the Holy Spirit will not stop. May you whisper to us what you desire and expect of us, each one of us here, so that there will be a response. Whether we pay financially to support many missions work and missionaries, and we pray continually for world evangelization, but we also preach because we need to go and share the gospel with word and deeds here and there, both locally, urban mission, as well as globally, overseas mission. For your glory, amen.